This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome everybody back. I'd like to go ahead and call these orders. So the first thing on our agenda is roll call. So actually, go ahead and do that.
I can be at each hall. And here, Rebecca. Here. Life Sciences, Ariel. Here. Madeline. Here. Leah.
Here.
Physical Sciences and Engineering, Casey.
Here.
Stella.
Here.
Cody.
Here.
Caitlin.
Here.
Awesome. Professional Schools, Wade. Abby.
Here.
Kristen.
Here.
Amanda. Alicia,
hi.
Singhua. Social sciences. Michael. Megan. Megan S.
Here.
Jeremy.
Here.
And then Masters, Victoria.
Here.
And then Pepper.
Keep being here.
Thank you, Ashton. So the first thing on our agenda is presentations, and we have our very own Victoria Kasande, who will give us the state of operations.
Thank you, Andy.
I have a clicker. Or even my license.
No, just don't click that one because there's no question.
Which way to click?
The, yeah, the
first one.
But I can also click the
second one. Oh, okay, thank you.
Right. Okay. All right, well, firstly, thank you everyone for joining us today. So the purpose of this presentation is just to add a little bit of transparency on the internal operations of GCSA as a whole, sort of what we do, because I certainly didn't know when I first joined. And so exactly together and collecting general body would benefit from. So what do we do? So the three main things that the operations committee is mandated to do according to our bylaws are staffing, logistics, and docking. So staffing, that's internal, you know, exec, committee chairs, external committee chairs, logistics, so anything that you need help with as far as what administrators would need to get in contact with, emails, listservs, and then documents with the bylaws and the charter. And then right below that is actually the mission statement of the Operations and Staffing Committee according to our bylaws. So who we are, so it's made up of all of the committee chairs. So that would be the 10 standing committees and then the two ad hoc committees. And then we have the UA delegates, we have four. Although they're formally appointed, these people sort of take an informal role and they just get their updates through email. And then we have the executive committee members who are ex officio a part of the operations and staff. Okay. So according to our bylaws, these are basically the four main things that we have to take care of. So committee appointments, update the list, communications, so that's a big one right there, making sure that all of our projects are environmentally sustainable. That is peeled right off the bylaws. It's not just something that was inserted artificially or because I think it should be. And then, you know, any vacancies and then revisions to the bylaws. Okay, so these are some of the three biggest questions I get. So how do we go about staffing? So according to the bylaws, that power is actually solely delegated to the operations and staffing committee and the chair, but that doesn't really seem too kosher, in my opinion. So how we've been going about it is committee chairs first decide their staffing process and how they'd like to recruit people. And then after that's done, it's like there's still some vacancies, then that duty falls back on the executive committee and the vice president of operations. Some committees are mandated to have a process, a formalized process by the bylaws, in sending out applications and creating them, whereas others are open to the entire graduate professional student community. And then right there, I peeled the verbiage off the bylaws that supports that. And then so where does committee budget money go? So I know in the general body meetings, everyone sees a presentation of the breakdown of the budget. However, that's completely at the discretion of the chair. So once a certain allocation of money has been given to a committee chair, through their programming and projects in meetings, such as the town hall, they can decide where that money goes. However, everyone technically, I would say, has influence just because you can go to the committee meetings and vocalize any decisions you may have. So the second thing is maybe you have The third thing is maybe you have looked at the bylaws and you're thinking, well, this could be updated or this doesn't sound right. So you would go to a committee chair or you can just honestly email me, it doesn't matter, and you can present what you think would be, what should be updated, what should be appropriate. And Alexa actually gave a beautiful presentation on how to submit a resolution, and that's the avenue you would take to update the bylaws. So before, I'm actually going to give you a breakdown of our staffing numbers in a second and show you all our vacant positions, but before that, I wanted to say any questions just on this part right here.
I will make a speaker's list. No? No questions.
You can go to the operations right there. Okay, so this is something that I send out to all committee chairs, and this is basically just our overall staffing percentage. So right now we have about 294 positions that are that stated in the bylaws that need to be filled, and we have about 154 filled. So I made the distinction between internal and external staffing because I would say to be most efficient and productive, our internal staffing needs to be staffed first, and then we can focus on external staffing, but it's roughly just above or below 50% for each. And then if you scroll down, you can see the detailed breakdown. So between exec members, liaison officers, voting members, field reps, that's sort of what we're looking at right now. So the one that sort of ballparked is the internal committee, so like appropriations, communications. That's an estimate just because, one, there are no set numbers for each committee in the bylaws. That's dependent on what the chair needs. So I roughly estimated about five people per committee to satisfy operational status, but that's open to changing. And then we have there's sort of a breakdown on the map on that, but you can send that out so you can look at more closely in detail. That's how you get that. Okay, so one more up. Okay, so a little bit more up, sorry. okay, so those are all the vacancies as they exist right now, in which are trying to be filled. With the use of this information, so that's basically the conclusion. So the greatest opportunity for improvement, so I took the lowest number, which is our external staffing for committees, and then our highest priority, I would say, is internal committee membership. So that's something that could be elevated so that we're more efficient and effective. And then our greatest strength would be the voting numbers, which are almost fully staffed, with the exception of the MBA, CMBA spot, MIOR rep, and the masses at large rep. And so through that, I just put together some actionable items that we could do. So we already did the November operations meeting, but just to advertise, I'm thinking through university newsletters, listserv, and to curate personal emails to organizations. So for instance, MBA students which are involved in policy might be more active in advocacy, et cetera, and then scroll down. through that, I sort of put together some goals. And those are, to be honest, those are just numbers that I put as an example. There is no math behind that. But just to see like what you guys think would be an appropriate goal, I wanted to put some feedback there. So any questions before I move on to the next document?
Can you scroll back up to the field numbers, please? Or the field cutoff? So I had a question. There it is. Thank you very much. So why is the threshold less than, so why is 100 people the threshold between at least one representative per and at least two representatives per? And sorry, I'm going to actually check out that because that actually says less than or greater than, you make a hole, there's a hole for the case of exactly 100 people in that field. That's a side note, but I mean, substantively my question is, why is 100 people the threshold between one and two field groups?
You mean, wait, I'm not trying to understand. So, why is...
What I understand the concept of allowing for having fields with more people have more representatives. That part I understand. I'm just trying to understand why was the threshold set at 100 people versus, say, 73 people or 142 or 42.
So when at the time that the bylaws were created, they took all fields that were that had over 100 people, then you had two representatives, and under 100. So I think we've added three fields in 2016, I want to say, which would raise that number to 105. But I'm actually going to talk about editing the bylaws in the next piece.
Of course. Yeah. I was just trying to understand where the 100 came from first.
I was doing the measure.
Yeah,
so that's the number, so I'm going to
suggest
we
look into that.
Okay. And then, Ariel, did you have a question?
I check how many people went until that, but I think a lot of fields between my work aware that have two field reps.
Yeah, in theory, that's what we would like. But for instance, our staffing numbers are low, or they could be improved. So, yeah, all fields that have over 100 people according to bylaws should have at least two representatives. But it doesn't say anything more than that. But of course, that's something that we can amend.
Any other questions? You had something else that you wanted to show us?
So we're going to go to the Excel.
This one?
That would be a question. Yeah, perfect. Okay, so this is a breakdown of all the external committees as well. We can leave like that. That's fine. So I have a few questions for you guys. So all of the ones that are crossed out have been verified that they no longer exist, either through the Office of the President or Canvas and Activities or the Office of Assembly. So this is actually what is driving our numbers down, is that according to the bylaws, I can't just scratch them off of the calculation to see what is that, right? So, for instance, if you have the Presidential Task Force on Climate Change, which the Office of the President says no longer exists because they've completed their mission and final report, I still have to count that as a vacancy because it's in our bylaws. So, this brings up an interesting question because, as I noted in the Operations Digest, it's something like 17 external committees and like 33 positions no longer exist. So there's a few options we can do here. So we can amend the bylaws and sort of scratch them and move on. That would also elevate our staffing numbers. Number two, we could resurrect these committees and find chairs and membership. Or number three, we could scratch them and then replace them with new committees. So, I mean, it's a give and take, but I was just looking at some of the ones that are scratched out, and they no longer exist, which is sad, and I think there's a need for them, but it's like, at the same time, you know, who's going to take on that responsibility? Also, we have to weigh the extent of they're going to be competing for positions with internal committee staffing, right? So it's like, I can shoot these vacancies out on a listserv and blast them through newsletter. However, those are also potential people that could staff our internal committees. So I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that.
Okay. Ariel?
Do you think you could even make an amendment that's been like
I guess, yeah, we could consider that as an option. It is permitted. You can imagine your committee that way, assuming that once this closes, this has been resolved, and you release the seat from the system for Monday.
I'll remind that you need to be recognized by the chair before you are able to speak. Yes, Doa.
So just to clarify, have a discussion on whether a committee should be removed or not.
Everett, did you have something?
I actually had a question regarding one of the committees that is no longer heard. So it says, line 14, faculty senate ROTC university relations committee by chief. So I understand that's being crossed off. But, to say the veteran act for 5 seconds and ask, what was that committee and why does it no longer exist?
Yeah, so that's actually a question that's under faculty senate that you want to ask the faculty senate. So I actually reached out to what the equivalent of the VPO, in charge of operations staffing for faculty senate, and I basically screenshot that exact list and I said, are any of these positions filled? If so, who are they? Secondly, do any of them not exist anymore? And thirdly, are we the GPSA charged with staffing them, or is it something that you guys take care of internally? And the answer that I received was that those two on the bottom, we are not charged with staffing, and they're not active right now. They're not dissolved, they're not active. And then the ROTC, he said, doesn't exist. So that's a great question, but I was saying, it's kind of sad because I'm like, I wasn't presented with a rationale on why these committees don't exist.
Thank you,
Cody.
So, what I think that would be helpful is to have some communication go out to everyone just regarding those committees that are that we'd like to disregard in terms of or change in some way how we're currently dealing with them in terms of staffing. Maybe broken up in terms of which ones are. Created for a specific short-term purpose, or which ones are totally driven by another body, and therefore doesn't even make sense for us to try to reform them. And in some way like that, so that it might give people an opportunity to see that, hey, you know, for instance, the campus climate thing was disbanded, but maybe I would really like to provide something in that area. But I think if there was some sort of focused communication sent out to everybody, it would give some time to consider if we would like to do something additional.
Any other questions?
I want to mention one other challenge. So for the committees that are not attached to any of the assemblies, it is virtually impossible to see who do I contact and reach out to see if it was a short-term initiative or a long-term initiative. For instance, there's like a neighborhood and something council, and like when you Google a committee, it'll have some documentation from like 2009. There's no website. There'll be like one Daily Sun article on it, and there's a lot of dead ends. So I don't know if anyone also has any ideas of how to approach that.
There
you
go.
You could do another amendment to like if the committee hasn't been active for a certain number of years.
Yes, Doc?
Is there like I'm sure there's a waste of time today when you grab instructions to send emails so we can ask for information and if no one's going to take that
Alexa, do you want to answer?
Yeah, sure. So we have the ability to send an email to every graduate professional student once a month. So usually we would reserve that for a newsletter, but maybe we can add that to.
Any other questions? I have a question. So if people want to get involved, is this the committees that aren't necessarily built, is this a good place to look at and see that, for example, one that is missing, if they can join and be part of that committee and reach out to you?
Yeah, what I can do, so I can send these documents out, but with all the colors, it's kind of crazy and it's difficult to read. So I'll also send out the operations digest because that details all the vacancies in the nice clean list. And I guess you can send it out through the newsletter or
Before
next
week.
Or
the summer next
week.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just a question about the staffing. Is it also, there's not, I assume there's some ad hoc committees that run here, like the academic integrity hearing board. Are those also included? And do you have any idea how many committees on here are? Ad hoc, so that, you know, they're not filled, but it kind of doesn't make sense to
include them. Right. So, yeah, that's a good question. So, all the hearing board vacancies, that's definitely an ad hoc. There's something that aren't filled year round, but that's actually another good question that I forgot to mention, is that what I could do is I could technically fill these positions and have people who are ready to step up in the event they arrive. Right, that technically inflates our staffing numbers and reflects better on operations staffing, but that's not the idea. The point is to not just get butts and seats, it's to see, you know, what are our needs and how can we translate that into achieving the goals that graduate and professional students need. So your first question is those ones are all ad hoc, and then the rest of them are not ad hoc. Just looking on. Yeah, they should be staffed year round.
Cody, and additional comment?
Just one more follow-up. With something like, for, I guess, just in general, how many of these are, like, do the majority of these require some sort of voting from the entire, like, how many of them?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Okay, so for our internal committees, it's finance and appropriations and operations and staffing, but with the exception of those, all of them can be filled and are open to anyone. And that's at the discretion of the committee chair. For instance, like finance, which has six commissioners, there's an application process, but in theory, with the exception of actually operations, you can't technically join, but anyone can attend those meetings. So it is open.
Any other questions? Is there something else you want to show us?
I guess for the sake of time, I could just quickly look at the overall budget of the committee, just so people are aware of it. There we go. So just as a snapshot of where we are as far as our committees and spending money, the far left column is our total budget, and that's how much has been spent by each committee year to date, and then that's the remaining balance that each one has. So if you do have any questions about the expenses, I would encourage you to reach out to the individual committee chair, which is very transparent. If they kind of want to show what Gina sent us and what our expenses have been.
Any questions?
Are those numbers the same as what was in the budget?
So these ones right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this column is what was passed and delegated to each committee, and then the expenses are what has been spent.
Like important for the faculty board committee, I don't think that's the number that
So we'll need to.
So that's good, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we can call.
Yeah. Just, have you spent any money?
No, I mean, it's expensive, right?
Okay. Okay, just to make
budget.
Okay. Any other questions? Anything else, Victoria, that you would like to share? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Next, we'd like to do division breakout, and as always, Alexa will let you know where to go. If you are a new member that just joined us today, come talk to us and we'll tell you where to go.
So the professional schools are going to go in the middle here with Alicia, and then the social sciences will be over here to my right here left with Michael. And then the humanities will be to my left here right with Becca. And then the physical sciences will be with Noah outside. And then the life sciences will be in this like middle section with Leo.
Who are you telling me?
It's for SEO. I think it's Joey Brady.
Okay. Can you remind me what that stands for? Okay, so you would go with Dola, they're going outside.
And then
she'll give you a link. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you sign in and put stuff in for
okay.
You should be good. Hi, I'm here for the graduate. Okay. Are you your veteran?
Yeah.
You can go to your division.
Okay.
Is that Yeah, sure. Okay, so tier 3, tier 1?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Trey.
So, Dave will let you know, they're going to give you a link and you can sign in on that.
Okay.
You can go or go.
Thank you. Hold on a second. I don't want to open a different one in this app. No, I don't use Apple, so I'm absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, I'm absolutely useless when it comes to one of these. Yeah, I pressed that, and it opened a... Not all of us use Apples, and I don't know how to get this without getting new opening new windows and stuff.
Okay.
DBERETC. AE434. I am a voting member. I effectively, yes. Some of them are damaged and threat. Yes. Yes. Systems engineer.
Thank you. for
Thank you.
And I'd like to move on to the discussion of the division breakout. So, we're going to go over to the Q&A. So, do we have an update from executive?
The executive team?
Thank you, Alexa. Operations?
We might have a long briefing for me, but if you have any questions about staffing or vacancies, please not hesitate.
Communication?
Hi, we really on
Thank you. Appropriations?
Did we get a written one? Okay.
Finance? I don't see any other areas.
Yeah, there is another campus group health session tomorrow, 12 to 1. It's 115 State Hall, so it's 115 State Hall. Terry Boslett will be there. Yeah. Also, you can email Terry Boslett if you have any questions about it.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to student advocacy.
Hi, we have a town hall this week, co-hosted with GCCI on Wednesday in Goldwyn Smith Hall, G64, the Facebook event, student advocacy Facebook page. I should all districts need an email about it before it's in issuance. I just sent it. It'll be great. It'll be free dinner, catered by Luna. We're going to talk problems and also how the GCCI and maybe the student advocacy committee separately can address them. So come on down. It'll be a good time. And please forward that email to your constituents.
Thank you, Jen. Fisk?
Building allyship event last week at 129 attendees. Very successful. We had a meeting this morning, so our meetings are same day as assembly meetings, just at 10:45 in the morning. And we would welcome many other people to show up those. One thing we're talking about, just like a new idea, a very interesting one, is having some sort of summit of all of the sort of departmental diversity committees. You know that there exists many across the university. So if this is a sort of question for field reps. If your department or field has a diversity committee of some sort that's sort of department field specific, can you please send me an email telling me just what field you are and who the best contact person from that committee would be? I would greatly appreciate it.
Can you remind us what your net ID is?
EPL49.
Thank you. Programming.
It's going to be kind of cocktails, so we've been working with the owner to create new drinks for this event. And the first drink will be on us. You just need to provide a valid ID for drinks and a phone number. And then we have a free skate night stand on February 8th at 8:30 at Mike Rice.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Faculty
members?
No, okay. The general committee. Thank you very much, Becca. Grad school, Jen, do you have any
questions? Just quickly, and then I'll take any questions you had. We found out today that one member of the grad school staff has been appointed to the search committee for the new dean. So I'm hoping that that information is out that some of you as graduate students have also received an invitation. You know the direction? I'm asking you because I don't know.
I've received an invitation.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
But I'm not sure.
Okay.
I didn't.
Thank you, Tom, from the graduate school. So, we know we should have been talking. Any questions?
Thank you, Jen. The GPC next?
Hi,
just echoing what Derek said.
Say it all again.
So there's a town hall.
Yeah.
Goldman Smith, 5:30. And the University Assembly, do we have? We do have a written update. Victoria, can you have a specimen from Jeff?
Oh, I can grab it.
So from the UA, Jeff said that we got a presentation from Michelle Walter, the judicial administrator, on her annual report on on-campus related incidents from the judicial administration. She is working with the codes and judicial committee on further clarifications in the code for the student code of conduct. And we also discussed modifications to a current draft on minors. So if anyone has any questions, please contact Jeff. And that ends our community Q&A. And we'd like to move on to elections. So today we are voting on Masters at Large Voting Member and Masters in Industrial Labor Relations Voting Member. So we'll start off with Masters at Large Voting Member. Is there anyone who would like to nominate themselves or someone?
I'm Jim Thompson.
David, you would step on
this.
And I saw another hand. Okay, thank you. So this is a contested election. I would like to ask the candidates to come down, say a little bit about themselves, and write the name of the person who you want. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, what? Okay, can you spell your name? Is it Casey? Okay, Casey, do you accept the nomination? Okay, so would you please come down to give us anyone else? Anyone else? Yes.
It says
David, would you like to share a little bit about why you're
doing this? Well, I can start doing the arithmetic unless people clear out in 2 minutes.
So, I'm David Thompson. I'm a first year master's student in the program of human knowledge. I work with children who can take 12 months to 4 years. Prior to this, I was just going to be head of a company on a marketing channel. Super happy to be here and love the food, first of all. But also, I very much love being involved in this part of it. I very much just for now. So I'm building part of this group as we work to accommodate graduate students and raise their school.
24 is Catherine with the
tech. Is it Catherine with the
tech? Thank you.
Thank you. Is that still right? Go ahead, Catherine.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for the meeting. My name is Catherine. I'm an MFA student. I'm also international. For this, I was at the University of Wisconsin, and I have my undergrad in anthropology. So I think I very, very deeply view the number one international library advocate for the past 2. I'm also with the MFA program this year. We are essentially a weekly program of our development, so we are a 1.5-year as well as 1 year. So we have a lot of very issues that we are working through right now, which makes being a member of GPSA, particularly a voting member, very important to me and the rest of our program. So that is a very, very strong reason why I work with them.
Hi everyone, I'm Casey. I am also a first year master's student. in the first year. And I am really glad to be in this body, but it seems like there's a real power of some of these classes. I want to come back. and I have a strong history of being on an elected body. I was my eighth grade chair back in middle school, and it went well. And I just did so well because this is a lot of work to be done. Taking more and more seriously. I'm playing outside economics and that's cool. So.
Thank you. Again, we're doing ranked, and these are your options.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
I'd like to open it up to questions. I'd like to remind people that if you ask one person a question, everyone has to answer. Any questions for our candidates? We'll go with an officer.
Sure. What of the committees of the GDSA sounds like you think you should get involved with you? Or what does it mean you care about?
So I'm obviously new to the graduate school, but I think this is a pretty big range in terms of costs. And who is funded and who isn't, and at what level those are, and where that positions students in terms of what feels accessible to them. I'd love a little bit more clarity around kind of what people are paying and how they're affording it. I don't necessarily know what committee that would be on, but something that almost right.
So I might misunderstand what exactly each of these committees do. Based on what I've heard so far, program committee would be one I'd be very much interested in. In terms of community at Cornell, I feel like I have a graduate student, maybe a master's, but it's a full, especially a small program, to branch out and meet other people in the department. I think that's going to be a real opportunity to help facilitate.
As I said before, I'm international, so definitely this is one project that I'm group that I'm very interested in, mainly so in the animation program, it's quite a local, which recently emerged in Johnson, has its own issue within itself. But it's much more difficult, especially right now, for the cast to be living in the U.S. and want to get the same opportunities that for both of us in addition. So I am very, very keen on being able to offer international students the same opportunities that are afforded to domestic students. Also, when it comes to housing, I don't know if anyone else has been in the same situation before, but housing is that no one offers this money. So my program is we are now a 18-month program, and for a lot of the students in my program, they are having a lot of problems getting finding places to live for 6 months because they have a 1 year lease, but they don't have anywhere to live for without getting a 1 year lease and then having sublet. So definitely the living and the diversity.
Thank you. There was a question from Victoria. Victoria and then Everett.
No, you go first, Thomas.
Hi, firstly, thank you all for inviting me. So I am currently the voting member for the FDA program. And so one of the roles that I face is getting responses from constituents. So I'm just curious how you guys need to plan to reach out to communities that you're not a part of and how to elevate those response rates.
That's a great question. I don't think there's also the right answer. I think it all comes into the different ways of marketing reaching out to any set of students. There's not one way that's going to be the best way to reach out to any set of students. So whether it's email, a lot of people send email from people that they don't know, and they can just delete it straight away. So do we go and we make the effort to attend one of their meetings in person and we say, hey, this is who we are, what we're doing, please get involved. Sometimes running the question makes a big difference. So that's the option.
Thank you.
That's a really tough challenge, and clearly I don't think anyone's really found a solution yet. I wish we had. I do feel like persistence is one of the ways to do it. Just obviously, we're forcing emailing advisors and your graduate advisor program. I also think there's, or I think most of the best that I've been up to, it's almost all word of mouth. So in some ways, I feel it's a little success builds success. And that we kind of really work and, you know, make sure we get them up and maybe even some other things and throw events and give them interesting news and only give things they really want to hear about rather than, you know, a long letter or a long email. So we can actually really capture attention and then every subsequent reach out is a lot easier.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like Catherine gave us a lot of it, but I would just have maybe Jayla, just like, kind of being that great, which I think we don't know. That's just continuing to happen.
Great. Everett, did you have a question?
Well, since as the MN representative of Victoria has kind of stole my question, or sorry, it is not to say you actually stole it if you're on a similar wavelength there. So I'm going to ask you one that's a bit more fun. If you had to be a humble client, which client would you be a client? I said, well, I also asked why.
Oh, it does it all. Yeah. What do you want to
cook
that
came
from Switzerland? Okay. Microwave. Check. This is definitely not going to be my favorite infomercial, but the Ninja Blender.
One last question, if any. Yes.
I was curious how, as a CSA, we can get involved in taking care of that our campus is for environmentally friendly, like stop using plastic, stop using some of even the gardening, why do we go along? When is that supposed to change? Is it supposed to change? Those two things that
number one, definitely the single use plastic, if we get rid of that, or even if we can swap over to like a compost, there are other sustainable options such as recycled cardboard or the put in a wooden option that you can get. Unfortunately, this also depends on fighting with the, I guess, when all of their bottom line, because obviously anything environment friendly and sustainable is quite expensive. So I'm from Bermuda, very big on saving the turtles. So eliminating trolls from campus would be a miracle. We also have a great campaign, which is Sit Don't Fuck. So that could be a fun one to kind of grab people's attention. Got a little innuendo there, but they're a huge contribution to plastic use. We could also not have plastic bags anymore. So this is really encouraging, the ability to bring your own bag, or whatever it may be, even which I think, like your orientation. Like, mine was a great, but say, hey, here's your, big red bag. We reuse it. It's very wearing. And when it comes to motion one, I understand there's definitely a aesthetic aspect that Cornell has, which is very appealing to attractive future students here. But there's just outside of Cornell, there's I don't even know geographically looking like kind of behind that area go around that road where the field is, there's actually a sign that says tall grass for me. So maybe if we had more of those that said, hey, we're not just purposely not maintaining our land, we're doing this to conserve us. That would be an option as well.
Thank you. So I do think that while we're using plastic material support, I think most of our carbon footprint, from what I understand, comes from air travel and also landscaping. From what I understand, this could be wrong, I was told this in class, but that by 2033, Cornell is trying to make all the plastic and carbon neutral, and they're doing that primarily from what I understand. I think that you're going to be totally wrong. But the way that parents are going to do that is by reducing air travel. There's a lot of air travel for personal reasons, but also for conferences. I try to find ways how we actually do that. So it's a crazy challenge, but I think it is one that maybe slightly beyond the scope of some of the experience in here, although we could definitely pass the resolution that would push that direction. I will also say that one thing that we could do to be tangible, smaller thing, is I know that in some of the local eateries, like animals, for example, we have the whistle cup, which seems like a good step forward, except for the fact that, to my knowledge, Tompkins County actually doesn't have an industrial composting plant. So we actually can't compost it there. So we are actually throwing them away and spending more money. So it's one where school actually has incentive to spend less money. Is it? Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I take that back. I mean, that's class. I didn't rain students I've ever said. But, what's that?
Game from the.
Oh, okay. Well, I take it back.
I'm a big fan of the trimester system, because I think if we shifted our academic calendar, you know, we're not here in December. So really. Big goal.
Thank you very much. So, if you think. So, again, we are ranking. These are the candidates, and Alexa and the rest of the Red Board. Ashton and Alexa will pick up N.
We'll
pick up
four.
Yeah.
I already voted, so we're.
Okay. So, are there any Masters of Industrial and Labor Relations students? Yes.
So my name is Paul. I'm the community data person for the MyLab program called Starting January. And I'm, I don't know if I can be elected as an interim chair, just so we get our bylaws and then figure out who we have responsibility for the MyLab position.
Okay. Okay. Can you start your name, please?
Yeah, ETHAN.
ETHAN. Okay. Are there any people from MINR who would like to nominate themselves or someone else? Okay. So can you step down and say something a little bit about yourself?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ethan.
Okay, so like I said, my name is Ethan Call. I'm a first year, first semester MyLab student, so Master's of Industrial Labor Relations. Our cohort has had elections for our Graduate Student Association Board within the MyLab program. And the one of the things that we kind of have talked about is being more active in the GPSA. The current board didn't really know very much about how to get involved and what it all goes into. And so, yeah, I'm here tonight just kind of talking about being an interim member until our bylaws are more solidified and amended to see who from the MyLab program will come to be the permanent seat for the GPSA program.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you so much, Ethan. Any questions for Ethan?
I just wanted to make a motion to, if he's standing on the post, to spend voting for vaccination.
Okay, is there a second? There's a second? Okay. Is there any dissent? So the motion is to suspend the voting since he's unopposed and just appoint him. Yeah. Is there a dissent? Yeah. Yes. He would be right now. No? Okay, seeing none. Motion passes. Okay. So we don't need to vote for Ethan. Thank you. We'd like to go on with old business, and for this, I'd like to call Ariel. We will be discussing Resolution 2, condemning the dismissal of Julia Beniz from the Cornell Alliance for Science Global Leadership Fellowship. And during this part, we modify, change, and we get to vote on the resolution, if that is what the assembly wants. Other options are also tabling the resolution or sending it to a committee. But I will pass the floor to Ariel.
Hi, yeah, so I would like to open up the floor for comments and amendments. I know that you guys proposed a lot of really great stuff last week, so if you'd like to add to this or change that now, I'd like to put it up.
First of all, so I would like to propose an amendment, but what I would like to propose first is a change in the title of the resolution, and then leave the whereas clauses in furtherance of what I want to change the intent of the legislation to. And so, the
The amendment I would like to make is to change the title and then, of course, the substance of this resolution from a straight condemnation of the dismissal to expressing concern of the dismissal of Julia Feliz from the Cornell Alliance for Science Global Leadership Fellowship. And then within the legislation, amend it to A, of course, yes, because with given information that's out there, certainly it might look bad. However, to actually try to investigate and get further information before asserting any declarative act, which be it condemnation or praise or whatever it might be, it would certainly help, I think, know what actually happened in the best of the case before making an affirmative act that be asserted a certain action to be taken.
Is there a second?
I just want like a clarification of what the clause you want to make it.
No, I want to change first the title. Well,
I got that. I was just wondering if there was a clause that you wanted to make it.
We can still work, and certainly the language is probably better for me to be reworked. But from the second whereas clause to the second whereas clause, the fourth whereas clause, and the result and the resolve clause to of course it would require that the resolve clause express that instead of voting to condemn, voting to express concern about this police dismissal. And also that we would like further investigate the situation or pass it off to someone in power, if that makes sense.
So the motion is to change the title.
First, change the title along with then referring the legislation to the committee or to a committee that we can create out of a lot of us to amend the language in furtherance of the intent to change.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Is there a second amendment? Okay, yeah. So there's been a second. Now we're in formal discussion of that motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
So point of order. A motion to amend a motion and a motion to refer to committee are completely separate motions.
Okay.
Well, the motion to amend the title is first, but we can still discuss the data to discuss it.
So point of order, we need to handle one motion at a time. And so the first motion that's been made to be resolved before we make the motion.
Okay. You resolve the motion.
I'll split my own questions. First, I will make my motion to be to change the resolution title from condemning to expressing concern regarding the dismissal of Julia Feliz, and then the resolution clause to changing from condemnation to expressing concern and to seeking to acquire the desire to acquire additional information.
So we can work with the first amendment, which is to change the title. We'll start there.
Yes. Okay. Well, but I mean, the two come in tandem because there's no point changing the resolve clause if you're not changing the title or vice versa.
Okay.
So point of information, is there a way to add a track changes version of this of screen that has been edited as
Alexa, can you help me?
Yeah. So do you want me to track the changes if they're implemented?
No. As the motions are made, we should track changes and then we'll be able to call the agency. And then if they pass,
Okay, so the change is aggressive.
And there was a second from Alex. So this is where you can ask Everett some questions about his motion of changing the language to express a concern instead of.
Is that changes on?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I'm just gonna.
Any questions about this motion?
And also don't forget to amend the resolve clause, which is.
Well, don't we need to.
No, because of the people. They're both at once because they're both part of the same motion, because they're both part of the same
motion. Okay, so just to be clear, the current motion on the floor is to change the title and the resolve clause to delete, condemn, and change it for the express concern.
Yes.
Any questions?
Yes.
What's the date?
Concern over?
We need to have one person make a motion for an amendment, and then we can just
right, so we need to vote on this first and then we can change the wording of that. No.
So basically, right now there is a motion to amend something. Someone else can amend that amendment. And then a separate motion can actually decide and then you work out.
Okay, and with an amendment to amend, that's going to be not
to right, so if you wanted to, you could amend the amendment by saying change the 4 to regard it.
Okay, so Mark.
Well, we could, well, then let me amend it, then I'll make his amendment move by just, can we scroll back up, please? To change in expressing concern regarding, then I'll make my own motion, expressing concern regarding the dismissal of Julia Feliz, et cetera, and then once, and then also changing the resolve clause in a similar way. Would that make you, you accept that? That's possible. All right, here we go. So this is my motion.
Okay, so we are still in the discussion. So no one.
Yeah. So I just want to clarify what we are expressing is the lack of information.
I will go to yeah. The problem is that without actually understanding what's going on, a condemnation may not be warranted. It may certainly be warranted if we have information later that's conclusive or that strongly asserts that somebody acted or that they had acted improperly with respect to her removal. However, if there was the situation itself is something to generate concern because with partial information of what's floating out there, there has been a lot of consternation regarding this police situation. So I think in order to try to assert a desire to know more in order to be able to make a definitive conclusion, we have to express concern first. And inquire as
why it's happened. Ariel, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I was going to say that so the resolution as it stands now was sort of focused around the whereas Cornell undergraduates, graduate and professional students, postdocs and fellows should be free to critique their programs without fear of retaliation. But if you would like to add another like whereas statement or maybe even something to the be it resolved, that would be a great time to propose an amendment. Yeah.
Yes, good job.
Before I make my comment, I would say because I have dual role as an exec member and the voting member for the FDA students, all my comments are in regard to being a voting member of the FDA students and do not reflect the opinion or thoughts of the executive. So having that said, I wanted to make one clarification. I think Julie goes by they.
Yeah.
I was going to say if that had been amended in the resolution to do so, because I just wasn't sure if the center would be different pronouns use them to make it perfect.
Yeah, so the resolution currently uses they pronouns, but
I
mean, feel free to double.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, discussion should be using they them pronouns as well. Thanks for bringing that up.
We are currently having technical issues, but we are, I think,
hold on.
So, yes.
So, you said the last option of the committee to report. Is that correct? Third option? And that might indicate.
Or, is it not just in that order?
Okay. Or, the third one
that you said.
In that option, is the reworking only on what we discussed today, or is that a new committee work with the author of the resolution to reformat any substantive changes? And we have a correct understanding of what that option is.
I think that's another thing.
So, I mean, whatever we decide, we could. But typically, it's been for the community of that. In fact, it's in the community of that.
But my intent is to at least, my intent is to at least see what the fellow members feel about changing substantive tenor of the legislation. And once that is done, then certainly we can make a decision about it due to evaluate where and how amending it, the particulars of the whereas clause to support the resolution that we are seeking would be a result. But in order to do that, I first wanted to make sure that we as a collective are in favor of making such a switch in the first place. And so I was.
Thank you. Again, I'd like to remind that if you are working on a resolution that it involves a lot of opinions, you could wait till I call on you to have a vote. So right now, the current amendment is, please, do we have a second for the call to question? Or come up for a voter question? Yes, go ahead.
I don't see how us expressing concern specifically will change something. I don't know if that is worthy of the resolution.
Okay. Cody, I have Gina. Did you have something to add?
I do, which is why I was
Everett, you're next on the speaker.
Okay, so the point is, let's see if I can make this clear, is that launching straight to condemnation might cause people who we could theoretically persuade.
That was that question. I don't think that we should change back to condemnation. I'm asking the question about if there's a concern.
Well, to express concern means that it is a way of saying expressing alarm, it's a grammatical choice of trying to express or trying to convey that this issue on the basis of what we know is in fact a concern. But because the information is complete, or incomplete rather, which is why we're only expressing concern at this time, versus launching to a condemnation or a recommendation for X, Y, or Z. It's to first find out what is going on and what needs. I'm sorry, I'm not a semiologist, I'm not an American, and I am an engineer, but one has spent a fair amount of time doing certain from that, where generally speaking, that when something you consider alarming and you want to know, find out more about it, you express concern. That is generally the language that is used. Because saying that this is alarming or want to create condemnation is off-putting. So it's a matter of trying to express what we feel, but in a way that is non-threatening and that has the best chance of trying to help get the outcome we are seeking. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Everett. Before we move on, you'll be able to answer that if you have a question. Can I get the voting members to raise their hands? Because the one that is still at the forum. And the fewer that are voting members, not yet.
Thank you.
So,
can you add me to speaker?
Yes, so we do have one. Noah, did you have a response to a question tonight? I have Cody next.
I proposed this resolution thinking, we should probably make a statement as a body because so many people on campus have been thinking about this incident. And I really now just want to have us make a statement that expresses how we feel as a body. So if that's what all of, you guys in this room and the voting members and everybody, if that's, if you guys feel that expressing concern is more of what we want to convey, then I fully support that.
Thank you. I had Victoria.
So I was gonna, my question was for Everett. I was gonna suggest, were you leaning towards an actual item being called for an investigation, or?
At least gathering more information. I want to shy away from using the word investigation because A, of the formality that it implies, and also, shall we say, I'm certainly gathering more information is my intent, and that this legislation leads back. As far as how that phrasing, as I will admit that this is also my first term for now, but this is part of my first term involving student government. But my intent is to try to gather more information to help make a better informed decision. If we want to use the word investigation, depending on the institution that you're in, can sometimes mean very particular things, which is why I wanted to avoid that terminology, unless that is A, the preference, and B, that does not have a specific way of implying that, because for example, at the University of Washington, where I also attended, to say that if an investigation means either goes to the ombudsman's office, or if it's a student issue, then goes to the judicial. Versus gather more information, and then we can also plot a course, or whoever we have to talk to, or whatever select group or standing committee that we have to talk to.
Thank you.
All right, wait, I guess we should make a motion to extend the meeting by 5 minutes.
Yes. There's been a motion to extend meeting for 5 minutes. We go up. There's been a motion to extend the meeting for 15 minutes. Is there a second?
I have a second.
Is there a dissent? Seeing none? Okay. Motion passes. The meeting has been extended for 15 minutes.
So I would just like to take a straw poll because I don't want to keep everybody here all night. So of the voting members, how many of you would support this resolution in this or a slightly modified form that we could conceivably amend in the next, 15 minutes or so? How many of you feel that this could be modified slightly and then you would be willing to vote affirmatively for it?
Affirmatively.
Yeah.
So the straw poll is not an official vote. It's just
yeah.
A sense of the body.
I'm trying to gauge the room to see if it's worth our time to try and make amendments or if we want to move on and think about either tabling this or sending it to a committee. So I'm trying to, gauge whether there's enough support to try.
We can still pass the change.
And I'm going to remind you to raise your hand. So the motion was or
to take a straw poll.
Point of clarification. Do you mean the amendments as they are now?
Oh, sorry, not the amendments. The resolution.
Okay.
Yeah, with minor amendments.
So again, the straw poll is to hypothetically vote on the resolution as is. To see if we can continue this conversation for the next 14 minutes or so.
Is there a second to take a straw poll?
Okay. Is there a second? Seeing none. So
I guess, raise your placard if you would be interested in, voting yes on some form of this resolution tonight.
I would like to add Kat and Ethan as the new voting members. So, this is voting members only. So we'd like to do this talk on now. Whether you would vote on the resolution
As is or modified slightly?
Modified slightly.
Clarification, because modifying slightly can mean very different things to very different people. So,
I'm trying to decide if it's worth our time to amend this or if it should be moved to tabling or to a committee. If you think it would get to a point where you would want to vote yes tonight, then raise your hand. Otherwise, do not raise your hand.
We could still vote to change it to amend. To make an amendment.
Everett, if you could just not
yes.
talk
in
the order. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Let's go ahead and do this.
So, just straw poll now.
If you
could. If you could.
To vote on this resolution. To continue the discussion. Raise your hand or clap it.
Okay.
I see one.
All right. I see that there is not broad support for this. So maybe we should make a resolution. Or we should make a
resolution. We should dispose of the motion.
Well, yeah. So I think at this point, you need to.
So I'm going to ask to motion to remove the amendment.
Well, you have to vote on the amendment.
No, we can vote on the amendment before we do that.
So we'll go ahead, if there's no other questions, to vote on this amendment. To the amendment is to change language from the title and line 22 to say express concern instead of condemn. So is there a call to question?
Motion to call the amendment to question.
Is there a second? Okay. So now the motion is again to change the language on the title from expressing concern, from condemned to expressing concern, and then clause 22 and 23 from condemned to expressing concern. Is there any dissent? Are there any abstentions?
Can I not?
You can.
not change my staff. Can you put me down if it's possible? Actually, no, abstention, because I do want to do it if you want.
So I have two dissent, A, abstention, and two to eight, seven. What's that? No. 72. Okay, so I have two, we'll see, we have seven consenting, approving the change, eight are abstaining, and two are dissenting.
That sounds correct.
The motion passes. Okay.
Okay. Cool. I would like to make a motion to table this resolution.
I will second.
Second. Okay. Is there any dissent? Table this. Yes.
So I would perhaps suggest submitting this to this instead of tabling, so
okay,
that there can be chance and progress made before next
week. Then I will draw my second.
Okay.
So I will draw the second table, and then I will
move to.
Well, I will second his motion to refer to this.
So now the motion has been the previous motion, which is to table, right? And the new motion that has been withdrawn. So the new motion now is to
refer the legislation to this for amendment and for revision.
Okay, and that was the second. Is there any dissent with that? Seeing none. Okay, that motion passes. The resolution will go over to this. Thank you very much.
Okay,
so our next section is Jen. So we have new business. So Jen, during this part of the meeting, Jen will talk about his resolution, which is demanding mandatory arbitration class action bans be removed from CashNet and other community agreements. During this part, he will present the resolution and you will be able to ask questions. I will make a speech of this and I will give the floor over to Jared. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. If you ever paid a bill on CashNet, you agree to terms under which you lose your right to resolve any dispute with the service provider in court. And you cannot hold a class action. So for instance, they need to hold up our data because of a, competitive, criminal confidence, Equifax, for instance. We would all have to, if any of us wanted any sort of basic recommend, we all have to find individual legal recognition. None of the precedent from any of our cases would affect any other case. And, the results will change this. So it's not great. ILR and Ross Patrick and the Director of both mandatory arbitration, which are arguing from the general legal system, and class action ban, which sounds ridiculous that an agreement is, you could agree to something so easily from the service, and in fact the Supreme Court has been upholding the class action bans, so it's very real. They've written about how bad these are, how they have impacted a great deal of consumer and employee rights. You want to have it a lot more. They have a very readable article called The Arbitration Epidemic. Mandatory arbitration deprives workers and consumers of their rights. In the Economic Policy Institute, where quite able to sort of lead with other research. And I actually wrote an article in the Sun about this called Paying with CashNet Strict Your Legal Rights. You can do that. I know a lot more about why mandatory arbitration and the class action ban are very bad. And basically have no reason to be in an agreement, except that one judge says that they get out of jail free card for corporations' prejudicial transgressions. Any questions?
I'd like to start with a speaker series. We'll go with Ariel.
Hi,
Yes.
Okay. So I super agree with you that this is a very important issue and that mandatory arbitration is a horrible thing. I'm just wondering if there are any competitors to CashNet that don't require mandatory arbitration that that's the worst for.
I don't know, and I'm hesitant to suggest anything specific. I do know that it's extremely easy to remove these terms from agreements and just strike them. It would involve removing similar terms from the agreement for first and organizing this year. Turns out, most people can kind of push a little bit of pressure. They pull on them, but usually things don't go to court. There's not a big need. And so this is just corporate, a flourish that you can see, something they could do in theory to protect them, but isn't actually that tangible until, these very rare situations exist. So, yes, I think it's a good idea. I leave that to the first service side. A lot of these contractors are very few clients, and so because they're contracting with large institutions, like for now, and so they are incredibly receptive to the advice from their clients.
Thank you. I have.
So partially answer my question. So I guess I am not too familiar with the success of asking for the amended mandatory arbitration contract statement. So to your knowledge, is it worthwhile to ask those companies to accept the entire if separate?
Yeah, these appear together so often they're often referred to as individual arbitration. And so they kind of went with care. They're in the same paragraph in the agreement. They probably were just copying and pasting from the same legal boilerplate. So yeah, I think it does make sense to move them together.
I had Edward.
Yeah, so my question is, if our own faculty in two different schools have done this stuff, why this language was allowed to go on or even allowed in the first place if our own faculty have condemned such language?
I think, like many of us, the Cornell versus office did not very carefully read the service.
Okay. Fair enough, awesome.
I had it, Alex first. And then
yes, do you know other institutions that have similar sorts of languages?
I don't specifically, but these are very common terms these days, so watch out for them.
I second it.
I'm just curious if you can catch them, like the rest of us. If we have, maybe for the last 9 years, submitted or submitted to these terms, or however you want to put it on, does that mean we've been definitely agreed to these terms, or does this mean that if they do appear there a lot of risk for something from the resolution that,
I don't know the answer to that. I suspect it is unclear. Even if some people do that, but it depends on who gets their case and exactly what kind of terms will be reviewed. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know exactly.
Okay, I've exhausted the speaker list. Are there any more questions? No? Okay, this was just the introduction. Thank you, Jared. We will add this to continuing business. Thank you. And now we have our open forum. Are there any announcements, news that we should know about? Seeing none. Okay. Next is adjournment.
I'll make my motion to adjourn.
Is there a second? There's been a second. Okay. Okay.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.